John Clayton joins us. John, before we brought you on, we were talking about the Steelers going from 2 years ago, Le'Veon Bell, who took like a record amount of carries, to now maybe changing it up and going with the running back by committee approach. More teams have tried it. The Patriots have won with it. The Eagles won with it 2 years ago. In your estimation, the coaches you talk to, the teams you talk to, is that the right way to do it in 2019 by committee?
Yeah, unless you have a Hall of Fame caliber or Pro Bowl caliber running back, it's better to do it that way. It's not becoming harder to get three down backs. I mean, you see in college, you know, they're not running as much or they overdo it. And, you know, there's a lot more attention to passing than there has been before to running backs. But no, I think that, you know, you want to have a balance, and you look at the real successful offenses, and most of them, pretty much the three of the four that were in the final four last year, pretty much have that committee approach. You know, whether it's going to be, at that time it was Mark Ingram, now it's going to be Latavius Murray working with Alvin Kamara. You know, they went with the Rams with a one-back type of system with Todd Gurley, and maybe they've worn him out a little bit too much. But no, I think it's better to kind of cover yourself, because the one thing that I think is becoming increasingly tough is, you know, the injuries to the running back position. And so can you count on one guy for three downs? You know, if it's a Hall of Fame type of guy, you know, a Saquon Barkley type, or, you know, Peterson or somebody like that, yeah, you do it. But if not, then you take the other approach and try to, you know, share it at the position.
John, when you talk about by committee or having one guy for the job, part of it is the financial aspect. Do you think it's a crazy thing to say that Gurley, in getting his deal and then getting hurt the way he did, and C.J. Anderson coming off the street and running so well for them for the most part, might have actually done more to hurt running backs in the long run than anything?
Yeah, could be. Because, I mean, look, for example, and particularly a lot of the, maybe not necessarily Sean McVay, but, I mean, you can see from Adam Gase, you know, you have a lot of young coaches that don't believe in paying the running back because they think that you know, you can at least get a couple guys in there and do some good things. And you do have an ability, particularly nowadays, to get running backs in the third and fourth round. I mean, you saw this year, you know, there was a devaluing of the running backs. I mean, Josh Jacobs of the Oakland Raiders was like the only guy taken in the first round. And what, there was only two running backs taken. I mean, it's a year-by-year cycle to see the quality of the running backs. You know, they went, there was, you know, particularly from Gurley's year on for about 3 years, there was a real good run of good running backs coming in. But they also, when you realize that if you get them into the second contract, there's a good chance by the time they're 28, 29, they're not going to be the same. I mean, I think most people feel that Todd Gurley is not going to be the same running back as he was, and he may have to share the position himself because at the end of the season, he just hardly could do anything.
John, coming out of minicamps, where are the Steelers in the NFL hierarchy? Where are they ranked, in your opinion?
I'd say, depending on where you want to put Cleveland, maybe four or five.
Where do you want to put Cleveland?
I'm still going back and forth on it because, you know, certainly on paper, they look really good. But again, paper and Freddie Kitchens running it. I mean, Kitchens getting great reviews right now. But then, you know, his quarterback called out Duke Johnson. That wasn't good. You can see that, you know, they tried to do some things with, you know, Todd Monken calling the offensive plays, and that didn't work out. So I'd say right now it's pretty close. I would give the edge to the Steelers because I still think in the end they can score more points. Defensively, I think it's pretty even between the two, but I can't see a one-game difference between Cleveland and Pittsburgh. You know, because if you look at the hierarchy, I mean, I think the Chargers are up there higher than people think. I mean, Indianapolis is up there. New England, obviously, is number one. And then, you know, Kansas City, but they still haven't gotten good on defense. And so that's where it goes. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the real deal. So they're either four or five, depending on where you want to put Kansas City and also Cleveland.
John, I think our listeners crave positive Steelers news from you. Like, that's what they want to hear the most in any given interview. They're hopeful that they hear. And then they want to hear negative Browns takes probably next most from you.
No doubt.
So... In that...
Let's put it this way. I was so accommodating for about 15 to 20 years because it was so easy.
Yeah.
I get criticized out here on my show because, you're always saying bad things about the Browns. I said, well, tell me when they win. It's like they haven't won a playoff game since they moved there.
Well, so that...
Or they got the expansion franchise.
So my question about them is this: Mayfield calling out Duke Johnson and then the veterans kind of behind closed doors, they had kind of hashed it out. Do you see that as a possible net good, like they just handled it, or is that something that people should keep an eye on, that general kind of story, and I guess this one in particular with Mayfield?
Well, nobody can talk more about that than you and everybody else in town because, I mean, that's kind of a Ben Roethlisberger type of thing. I mean, you call out a player negatively when you shouldn't have, or maybe you should have, whatever it is. In this case, they shouldn't have. I mean, that creates some disharmony, and there was definite disharmony. And there was no reason that Baker Mayfield should have done that. I mean, I was hearing Duke Johnson trade rumors way at the beginning. And before he even put in for the trade. And it was understandable. I mean, they pay him $5.2 million on a contract extension. They draft Nick Chubb in the second round. They give Nick Chubb the starting job for the most part. Then they come in and get Kareem Hunt. Well, if you're Duke Johnson, what are you thinking? That's no self-inflicted wound. He was wounded.
Talking to John Clayton, our NFL insider here on 93.7 The Fan. John, you're the perfect person, I believe, to ask this question to. I keep getting or seeing stories on the ever-changing pass interference rule every day, and I try my best to keep up with this kind of stuff, and I don't even know. I can't even articulate to our audience like what is going on with this rule change. Can you somehow make heads or tails of what the latest is on that?
Yeah, it's a disaster. I mean, because I thought at the very beginning it was going to be a disaster, and it's just proven to be that. So that's really what's going on. I mean, you know, the idea was that they should have done Sky Judge. Sky Judge would have been the better option, but they didn't do that. Competition Committee wanted Sky Judge. They wanted something else. And now it's a matter that, adding non-calls, and now the coaches aren't happy that they have to use theirs in there. So it's like that to me is a total disaster, but I anticipated it.
So how does it work right now?
As bad as it is.
So how does how does it work right now? If we had in Steelers Patriots in week one, if we had like a facsimile of the play that happened in the NFC championship game happened again, what would occur at that point?
Well, what's going to happen is that the coach then has the ability to call for the challenge. I mean, again, you can call both sides because if you think it's going to be an offensive pass interference, you can call for that. But the coach can use up a challenge. If he loses, he loses, and that's something that can happen. And then in the final 2 minutes as of today, and that could change dramatically after as time goes on here because they're still working on it, then you have the replay people look at it and make the challenge. But the coaches now are now turning after getting what they wanted and now saying, hey, we shouldn't have to use a challenge on that. Well, how do you want it? I mean, it's like you can't have it both ways. And so I think, and that's why I still go back to Mike Brown. Mike Brown is the guy that doesn't like any change like that. He thought this could be a disaster when you do it because now you get more challenges, more game stoppages. I can guarantee there's going to be more pass interference calls offensively and defensively the way it is right now. It's a mess.
John, refresh my memory. What was the objection to the Sky Judge?
There wasn't. What it came down to is that the owners at the last day decided we got to do something. Let's give them the challenges and let's do it that way. And that's what they ended up doing. But then, because the competition committee was adamant, they thought the Sky Judge, and I agree with them, was probably the best option because now it's a simple thing. If somebody is up there in the eighth official and he sees something, he gets it down to the referee and they make a quick call on it.
So it just got scrapped for no reason.
That's the best way.
It just kind of went away. Like the
No, it went away because the owners decided we've got to do something, and they just did what they wanted and didn't think through it enough.
Will John Clayton watch Hard Knocks this year?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Although it's funny, I talked to Mike Mayock today for a story that I was working on, and the one thing I was mandated to do is don't ask him about Hard Knocks, and I didn't. But it's going to be great.
Is Mark Davis... is eccentric a fair word, and to what degree is the eccentricity?
Just because he looks like Bill Collins?
He drives 6 hours.
To get a bowl cut.
To get a bowl cut, like a Prince Valiant haircut in a conversion van.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like Phil Collins.
Is he as strange? Let me put it this way. For Hard Knocks, is he the marquee attraction?
No, because I'm sure he will probably, I mean, they'll film him when he's around, but I'm sure he's not going to participate whatsoever because he's not happy about this at all.
Mm. Oh, really?
I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
Maybe a one-on-one with the producers at P.F. Chang's could I don't know.
I mean, that's where you find him all the time. I mean, that's the one thing I kind of like about him. He's so approachable because, you go into P.F. Chang's over in Oakland and you walk in there and he's usually there around lunchtime. And so I kind of like him because he's always been pretty good to me. But, he does look different.
John, then who will be the big draw? Is it Antonio Brown? Who's the protagonist of this show?
Antonio Brown, Vontaze Burfict, Richie Incognito. I mean, you go through the whole list. I mean, and then, of course, naturally, John Gruden. Because, you know, even though he doesn't want to have this, he'll play to the cameras.
Are you surprised Richie Incognito found work in the NFL again? Just about. I was looking through, John, a timeline of his last 18 months or so, maybe not even. And the thing I came away with was, it is pretty staggering that some team out there wanted to take a shot just to even bring him in to see what he had left, given the things that were going on with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, what's Mike Mayock told me today is that you know, they gave him an individual workout, and he kind of looked more like a 31, 32-year-old guy than a 35, 36-year-old guy. Mm-hmm. Now, again, you know, the last contact he's had, it was either in the gym when he was throwing things at people or in the funeral home when he was you know, making terroristic threats there. But that was the last things that he really did. But you know, they think he has a chance to start, believe it or not.
Wow. I mean, that is the NFL in one sentence. Yeah, he was making terroristic threats in the funeral home, but he looks like a young man right now, so.
Well, at least he's not bullying any of his teammates. That's I guess.
Fair point. We're joined by John Clayton here on 93.7 The Fan. John, we know what the Rooney family has meant to Pittsburgh. What did Pat Bowlen mean to Denver?
Same as I think, you know, same thing to the Denver area as the Rooney family has meant here. I mean, you're talking about a guy, you know, because of his investments in Canada and the oil and all that stuff. He didn't have a lot of money, but he put everything he had into the team. If Mike Shanahan wanted to overpay a defensive lineman, even if it pushed on his money, he did it. I mean, he did everything he can, and he kept building it. Got a great stadium. I mean, he was able to get the help of the community in getting that great stadium. He was so involved with the National Football League, but he was pretty much on most committees, just like, you know, Dan and Art, and you know, he helped develop the league. And so I think he deserves a lot of credit for doing it. And again, that's why, I mean, because I'm on the contributor committee for the Hall of Fame, and he almost was able to make it a couple years ago when Jerry Jones made it. And just one vote switched in the nominations, or he would have been in there a couple years ago. But he's one of those guys that, you know, from the pro football angle, was so important to get into the Hall of Fame. That's why we're still catching up with the people on the in the contributor. But again, I mean, he meant everything because, you know, he had, what is it, only like 7 losing seasons. He put everything into trying to win and do the best he can for the city and for the team.
John, when Pat Bowlen was, for the 30 years that he was running the team until he stepped down because of Alzheimer's, was he a force for, like, not reconciliation, but compromise and collaboration between the players and the owners, or was he more on the harder line of things in your experience?
No, he was more, I think, on the business side of it. You know, Dan was so involved with the players. I mean, so good with the players and trying to make sure that they worked out. But, you know, Pat was good with the players on the Denver Broncos, but he was kind of a laid-back kind of a guy. I mean, he was great in the meetings. He was great as far as the individual franchise. But on the labor front, I think he stayed out of it. I mean, he was big on the TV part of it. He was big on the relocation part of things. You know, all those other things. But no, Dan was really the one that was the most important among the owners as far as relating with the players.
John, I got one more for you. When you mentioned Mark Davis, the P.F. Changs, the story I read is he has a newspaper in front of him. Would it be correct to assume he has the Bulldog edition? And have you ever heard it referred to as such, the early edition, the Bulldog edition of a newspaper?
I've never heard the Bulldog edition. I've heard the early edition and
all
that.
Yeah, me neither, John. I don't know.
Well, my mom was a journalism student in college, and I saw her this morning, and she randomly said the phrase Bulldog edition, and I had absolutely no earthly idea what she was talking about. And I said, I'm going to ask a real newspaper man, John Clayton, if he's ever heard it.
Yeah, I've never heard of Bulldog edition. I mean, is it kind of like the USA Today when they have absolutely no scores, which would be more USA Yesterday?
It's the early edition of a paper.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
and
John.
I know that particularly for all the years at the Pittsburgh Press. I mean, 11 years at the Pittsburgh Press, and you know, you had the Sunday edition, but I didn't know it was called the Bulldog.
And you rubbed elbows with some absolute icons at that place, right, John?
Oh, yes.
I delivered the Pittsburgh Press. That was my first, that was my paper route growing up. Oh, yeah. True story.
I know. I mean, 11 years there. It was phenomenal. I loved it. It was great.
All right, John. Thanks so much. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, John.
Okay, thank you.
See ya, John Clayton.